Good evening. My talk tonight is about living with the past. Every now and then a memory pops up and we take leave of the present moment and focus on some significant event that only exists now in our memories. Even if there's a video to memorialize it, that's just a two-dimensional rendering of something that was fully three-dimensional as it happened. The event also contained the extra dimensions of thoughts and emotions. Although Buddhist teachings encourage us to stay here and now, visiting the attic in our minds can bring healing and greater freedom. On the other hand, getting sucked into a memory by the ghost of a bad experience can cause that memory and its effect on us to mutate into a nastier form than it had when it happened. Several basic teachings of Buddhism support the idea that how we relate to our past strongly influences our experience of the present. The five aggregates are the aspect of our mental experience that we think of as being us. Memories are part of the aggregate called mental formations. The teaching of karma also is relevant. It says that our intentional actions determine who we will be in the future. Actions that we mean to do are very important about who we become. Our memories have shaped who we are now, and that process can continue for the rest of our lives and perhaps beyond. But we can learn to look at the past in a way that will clean our mental house, or that will instead compound our past mistakes. It's important to remember that in reviewing aspects of your life, you're currently dealing with memories and not actual events. You're not even dealing with the event that your memory is about, because memories are far more changeable than we usually believe. They include errors in how we perceive the event as they happened. Besides that, the brain has an odd way of storing and then retrieving memories. As a result of this filing and retrieval system, memories are likely to change every time we revisit them. These changes compound how we continue to remember an event. So our memory becomes less and less accurate over time. Reviewing memories can make them more problematic if our motive for dwelling on them is not wholesome. Often we think about troubling past events and we focus on what made us unhappy at the time. Maybe we were humiliated, or we now feel guilty about what we did, or we still resent what someone did to us. Whenever I talk about memories, I have to caution that if it's a memory of trauma, we need to proceed cautiously. It could become overwhelming, so we should be alert for when we need to stop remembering and maybe talk to someone who can help. But for less powerful events, I have some suggestions for visiting the past. We need to let ourselves remember, celebrate, forgive, atone, and heal. So, to remember, we can get stuck in troubling memories because we unconsciously believe that we're somehow going to solve the experience. And by doing that, we'll get around whatever discomfort it still carries for us. Well, we can't. Also, if we're dwelling unmindfully on an event that still makes us feel bad, that will turn up the volume on our suffering in the current moment of remembering, and probably in future instances too. Because remember, every time we access a memory, we fold into it the way we're remembering it now. On the other hand, a worthwhile purpose for paying attention to the past is to make peace with the current composition of our minds. Because those past events have influenced who we are now. And we can make peace with it. When some ghosts that are living in neglected corners of our minds suddenly come out of hiding, that's an opportunity to heal the wounds that they carry. We often miss this opportunity, though, because it is scary. It may feel like some sort of judgment day, that, oh, now I have to face what I did then. We do have to face the causes of our discomfort about what happened in order to make peace with that episode. We need to investigate, why did we do what we did? Or why did someone else's words or actions hurt us so much? What is the cause that lies under what we've been telling ourselves about that event? In reviewing memories, we need to keep the focus on ourselves, on what we did and how we felt, and not on the actions or motives of others. This process is something we feel our way through by remaining compassionate with the way that memory affects us physically. If it makes us tired or tense or a little bit sick to our stomachs. This physical part of our emotional response is like the glue that keeps this memory stuck in our minds. Once we've allowed ourselves to fully experience the emotional impact of a recurring memory, an insight may arise which finally puts this particular ghost to rest. Next on the list of things to do is celebrate. Having remembered a disturbing event and explored the grip that it has on our memory, there are other steps to take if we want a clean house in our minds. And this next step, celebrate, will kind of obviously feel a lot better than the initial investigation of the memory itself. We celebrate our own goodness. We applaud our good deeds throughout our lives overall. We cast our memory back over our own kindness. Sometimes we plan our acts of kindness, but other times it's such a part of our nature that we hardly notice. Others may be telling the story of what we did when we have no recollection of those kind acts. But the urge to be kind dwells within us always. So let's celebrate it. Celebrate your generosity, the times you've shared your own good fortune to benefit others, either with money or information or help you've been able to give them. Look at how you love and support others and your wise intention to end suffering for them and for yourself. Celebrate your good fortune. Savor triumphs, hard work that's paid off, or the many forms of joy that are unexpected or always accessible to you, but in subtle ways. Celebrate times of tranquility, like when you meditate, sit with your pets or loved ones, or walk in the woods. The quiet, good times of life. Be grateful for the whole of your life that's brought you to this shining moment of embodied awareness. Be glad you have a chance to recognize and let go of regrets and resentments. The next step is forgive. Now that you have celebrated the goodness of your life, consider how precious it would be to know you are forgiven for all the wrongs you've done, however inadvertently. Imagine feeling the slate of your conscience wiped clean. All troubled relationships made whole again. No more burdens of guilt. Just take a moment now and imagine how that would feel. The slate of your conscience wiped clean. All difficult relationships made whole again. No more burdens of guilt. Now consider that other people would feel that way too. People you remember who treated you poorly would probably also want the comfort and peace of being forgiven. You may want them to ask for forgiveness or at least apologize. But where does that desire come from? Is it a residue of your resentment? I've often heard it asked, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Despite knowing that letting go of resentment is like dropping a heavy burden, there are various reasons we can't forgive some people. I know from my own experience that forgiveness is a response of the heart, not an intellectual decision, and sometimes it simply can't be rushed. This is true when we're still in contact with someone who's hurt us, and we want reassurance that we're emotionally safe around them. Trying to force our own forgiveness just disguises still festering wounds and closes the heart tighter. But the walls of protection we've built around ourselves can also imprison us. A good place to start is forgiving ourselves. It could be either Jack Kornfield or Lily Tomlin who said, and I kid you not, could be either of them, forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past. While others are the ones to blame for what they did, we may have had some part in those events, however minor. Explore around inside yourself with the attitude of a surgeon who's interested not at all in blaming the patient. She just wants to find the problem and keep it from causing any more suffering. When you find what caused you to act as you did, bring compassion to it and see if you can forgive yourself. If not, form the intention to do so eventually, when your heart is ready. You may also want to identify and make peace with things you haven't liked about yourself. If you've been aware of them for some time and they haven't changed by now, try softening your aversion to them. Consider how these traits that you have develop. Often, to protect ourselves, we grow defenses that with time we come to consider bad habits. How can you blame an older you for a refuge you sought years ago? The next step is called atonement, but it's not in the sense where we would beat ourselves up about something. It's a wonderful cousin of generosity that bestows a gift on the giver as well as the recipient. Atonement, or making amends, is remarkably liberating. It's a cornerstone of spiritual health in the 12 steps. The mind is calmed by knowing that we've put right some wrong that we've done. The heart is opened by giving back what someone has lost, whether it's material or emotional in nature. Atonement often requires a lot of reflection in advance. We want to do what will clear our conscience and make the other person whole. This may take some thought to identify. Then we need to plan how to do this without causing new harm to them or others, including ourselves. Sometimes there's nothing we really can do but send metta as a form of amends. Just working through these concerns can untie a lot of knots in our hearts. And finally, heal. Standing face to face with these old ghosts, it might make you feel worse at first. You've gone for years avoiding this wrestling match. Why go through it now? Opening yourself up to pain that you've been avoiding is the only way to get over it, by finally going through it. It's like paying off a loan that came with outrageously high interest. We're free to be all of who we are now, once we've paid it off. Parts of ourselves that we've suppressed or abandoned can now come forward and finally be tended. At last, we let ourselves heal. Always be compassionate in facing the wounds of your past. Take time to comfort any fears or griefs that arise. I like to visualize my past self as a child that I'm soothing. Keep the heart open. Bring metta, compassion, and equanimity to your vulnerabilities. Hold yourself like you are that little child. No matter how troubling or numerous your bad memories are, bear in mind that you are immeasurably more vast than all of them combined. Thoughts of the past are like dreams from which we can awaken to realize they have lost their power. We can befriend them then and let them go to haunt us no more. Thank you.